Been in this town for 14 years and had a lot of years in the Philadelphia area. Grew up in that area and knows a lot about Philadelphia sports, and we're going to put him to the test tonight. He's also the film critic for the Dayton Journal Herald. We won't talk about films, but that's an entirely, well, that's another story is what that is. Tony, welcome to Sports Talk. And first of all, I guess if I could find the right control to turn on your mic, there we are. We will talk with you first about the Philadelphia Phillies. They had a lot of trouble toward the end of the year, Tony. What do you think happened there?
Well, the problem was very simple. They went on a 17-game road trip. Whenever you play away from home, and then they lost the three in a row to Cincinnati without Dick Allen. And I think once you take Dick Allen out of that lineup, and Lozinski was hurt for the three of the four games down in Cincinnati, and it was the normal slump. And I think when you put in Jerry Martin and Tommy Hutton and have them play instead of Lozinski and Allen, you're weakening your team.
What about the Cincinnati Reds? And I've heard that you said some pretty discouraging things about the Cincinnati Reds in the past. Some of their players in particular, maybe Pete Rose for one.
You want to start right off?
Yeah, let's get right into the meat of the matter here, and also invite the listeners to give us a call at 457-8603.
Let's compare the two lineups.
All right, position by position.
And see what's what.
Let's do the pitching staff first, because that's a lot of people say that's what's going to tell the story.
Well, if that's going to tell the story, I think the Phillies will win. I'm not sure that's going to tell the story, because I don't think the Phillies will win. I think when you add up everything, it will probably go four games in favor of the Reds. I don't think a team's going to win as much as a team is going to lose it, and that seems to always be the case. And I think the Phillies are susceptible to losing the series. But it looks in the first game like it's going to be Carlton for sure.
Will they use McCarver in there, do you think?
Yes, I don't think there's any doubt.
So there is that the threat of the Reds stealing on McCarver more than on Boone.
There's one thing that you have to remember, though. You got to get to first base before you steal. Carlton hasn't had a very successful record against the Reds, but he's a good power pitcher. Unfortunately, the Reds are a good fastball-hitting ball club. The first game may be Gullett. I heard that the Reds were leaning towards Gullett, but he has been shaky recently.
Well, I talked with Gordy Coleman yesterday. He was here at the station, and I asked him, and Sparky still hasn't made up his mind yet and may not even make up his mind until the day before the opening of the playoffs. So nobody really knows officially yet. There's been a lot of guesses made.
Well, what really surprised me is that I heard Tom Callahan had in his column down in Cincinnati that the first game would be Gullett and the second game would be Zachary. And I thought Nolan would start, and I really did think Nolan would. And Nolan isn't necessarily a starter. The third game is between Nolan and Norman and Billingham. Now, Norman, it looks like they need him in the bullpen, because McEnany has been such a failure this year. And Billingham is a good playoff World Series pitcher, so I wouldn't be surprised if they went to one of those.
Tony, let's take a call. Hello, you're on the air with Tony Macklin. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Steve. I listened to your program a lot, but I never had a chance to call. I was listening to Billy the other day, and he was talking about the Bengals. I could switch to football.
Okay, but we do have a guest on, and we want to kind of hold that to the guest and the topic of Philadelphia sports and hopefully the playoffs. But if you want to ask your question, make it a fast one.
No, okay, I'll call some other time.
Okay, thanks for your call. 457-8603.
You see, Steve, I have a tremendous influence over people. Am I driving you off the air? I heard this is your last night on the air.
That's not the reason at all.
All right.
The reason is WCAU. Do you have anything to do with them?
No, but they're from Philadelphia.
I know
that. They used to be a great sports station until they became news and the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, I don't like their new format. I liked it the way it was before they switched to all news, but that's another story.
Okay, let's talk about Pete Rose. I want to be specific. I don't want to be general. I want to be specific. Would you mind if I went down the lineup? I think this might
No, that's
might
what I hope you would
calls.
Do.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's go to first base, and I call it a standoff between Dick Allen and Perez. I think Dick Allen, I think Billy McCool could back this up, because he certainly remembers 1964 when Allen hit a triple that probably cost, off McCool, that probably cost the Reds the pennant. And the following game, the last game of the season, Allen hit one of his two home runs off Billy McCool. So Allen has always hit the Reds well. Now, there's been a problem with him saying that he's not going to be playing, that he's not going to play in the playoffs because Tony Taylor is not going to play. But I think that that'll be straightened out. But I call that a standoff. And if they don't have Allen, I don't see them winning. At second base, you've got to go with Joe Morgan. I think Dave Cash is a good player, but Morgan is the player that scares me most on that team. Shortstop, well, most of the season I would have gone with Concepcion, but I think Boa has shown that he's a better fielder, and I would go with a standoff there between Boa and Concepcion.
I'd say that'd have to be awfully close. You know, there's been that rivalry all year long where I think, what Boa call him, Elmer or something like that?
Yeah, because he always has E next to his name. And you've seen him kick balls recently, especially easy balls, and Boa never makes an error on an easy ball. Now, third base, that darling position, I think the most overrated player in baseball today is Pete Rose. And I would go with Schmidt. Schmidt has 38 home runs, which is 28 more than Pete does. Now, I know that Rose has 210 hits. So you decide whether Schmidt's 40 RBI and Rose has 60 more hits, which is preferable. I think the real key to choosing between the two is the fielding. I think Mike Schmidt is a much better fielder than Rose is. Rose can't go to his left, and he has a bad arm to first. So I pick Schmidt over Rose.
Okay, I would agree with you there on the fielding, but I think Pete Rose's hustle makes up for what he lacks in the fielding. And
hustle.
I would rather have the man who can get on base for me, and Pete has proven that he can get on base more than...
Pete is one of the worst clutch hitters in baseball. Put men on base, and Rose will not deliver. Now, ask McCool sometime that question. If Rose...
Well, I'd take his 323 any day.
Well,
against, you know, the 20 or 38 home runs of Mike Schmidt. And he was put into a position the other night where he had to pinch hit and came up with a key pinch hit.
Okay, let's talk about the other night. He's such a hustler, he's so aggressive, and yet he sat out against Randy Jones. Now, why did he sit out against Randy Jones, Steve?
Oh, why should he play? They had already clinched the pennant, and I think Sparky's thinking going into it was to let his players, his regular players that he will be counting on in the playoffs, to have as much time off as possible.
I think hustle is like virginity. I think it's overrated.
Okay, let's go on.
Okay, Leszczynski and Foster... I have a standoff there. I think Foster is the most valuable player in the league. I think Foster put him 10 games ahead now. Everybody's talking about Morgan, but I think you have to look at the whole season. Foster, through the first two-thirds of the season, was probably the best player in baseball. Center field, I had it even for a long time, and I'm going with Maddux. Maddux beats him almost in every position, in every way except the arm. I think Geronimo has a better arm. And I go with Griffey against Brown and Johnstone. And I go with Bench against Boone and McCarver. The Phillies pitching, the support, the bench even, the Phillies in fielding, the Reds in speed, and that may be the key to the whole series. The schedule is the Reds because they played three of the five at home. I was worried. I wanted the Phillies to play the three at home, but I think it's probably better for the Phillies that they open at home, so that they don't have the hostile crowd. And I think.
Well, there's that possibility of winning two straight there, and then coming back to Cincinnati. They can win in Cincinnati. They've done it. So.
Yeah, but two straight is awful hard.
I'm looking for a split in Philadelphia.
Well, if you get a split, I think the Reds will win.
Yeah.
Win the pennant. So, in the Phillies losing tradition. Is a nuance here, or a factor that's not that I have to take into consideration. So I have three Reds, three standoffs, two Phillies, and I predict that the Reds will win in 3 games, and my odds over this for the series are 7-5. I sound like Tony the Greek.
Okay, very good. Those are the predictions of Tony Macklin, who is with us tonight to talk about Philadelphia sports and the playoffs. And if you'd like to get through now, we have some open lines at 457-8603. This Saturday, it's Notre Dame football on WH. The Grog Shop, starting at the cocktail hour. Hello, you're on the air with Tony Macklin.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
May I ask what Tony Macklin's official capacity is at the newspaper?
Yes, you may. And Tony, you can answer that. I'm just a freelancer.
I mean, what is your specialty? I mean, what is your field? Do you report television or...
Did you listen to the program from the beginning?
No.
I'm a film critic.
What?
A film critic. Movie critic.
May I give my little 2 cents worth?
If it's only worth 2 cents, yes, you can.
Maybe 3.
Is it only worth 3?
Let me go on. I think that of all the people that I've heard on radio, I think that you've made probably the most sanest value of a national football team or a baseball team that I've heard. I don't think that you belong in the area. Give me a sport. I mean, that's the most sensible argument that I've heard concerning Philadelphia.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I want to see how much you know. The Phillies are ahead by how many games over the second place team, and the Reds are ahead by how many games over the second place team?
It's probably about 10. Philadelphia's probably about 6. Last I looked.
Well, you're out of date. It's 9-9.
Well, 9-9. Well, Philadelphia.
That's worth about 2 cents.
No, but really, I mean, you really showed me more sets, and I've read your columns.
You didn't read my columns. Don't say that. You don't even know who I am.
I wanted to find out.
Hey, Steve, let's get rid of this guy. All right, thanks for your call. Hello, you're on the air with Tony Macklin.
I would like to ask Mr. Macklin why he is so biased towards the Philadelphia team.
No, I'm not biased for the Philadelphia team. I just said the Reds would win in 4 games. You see, what the problem is, now, this is the reason why I'm on. If you say anything of any balance, or the Reds fans are so used to a double standard and so used to the spirituality of the Reds and so the sanctity of the Reds and the wonderfulness of the Reds. I'm not biased to the Philadelphia team. I said the Reds, I think, probably have the better team. Now, if you call that bias, I just didn't say that they're better at 25 positions on the roster. And you people have been so propagandized by the local press and the Cincinnati press that anybody that doesn't support the Reds 100% is witch hunted, and I resent that very much. I don't think I made rash statements. I think I made very thoughtful statements, and I spent a lot of time going over this, and I've gone over this for years and years and years and years, and I've watched Pete Rose for years and years, and I know that he made the last out in the series against Oakland in 72, and I know that he made the last out in Wise's no-hitter, and I know that he went 2-for-18 when the 1964 pennant was up for grabs. And I know that he didn't hit against the Dodgers when the Dodgers won the pennant a couple years ago. This isn't just a rash judgment or on my part. I think I'm knowledgeable. And I resent both of these calls that are saying that I am not knowledgeable.
Okay, Tony, we'll go on. Hello, you're on the air with Tony Macklin.
Well, good evening, Steve.
Hello.
I think he'd be better off if he'd stick to his film.
Maybe I would. Maybe I would, darling.
Listen, how long have you been in Dayton?
I've been here for 14 years.
14 years?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, for us natives, those Daytonians, don't knock your Reds, baby, because you might not be here for another 6 months.
Oh, I'll outlive you.
I doubt that.
Okay. I'll bet you on the side, okay?
No,
take care.
Bet me on the side or any place else.
Take care. Take care.
All right, we're moving on. Hello, you're on the air with Tony Macklin.
Hey, Steve, let's have a bet on the side whether we're going to get an intelligent call tonight.
Well, I think we might get one or two. That has happened to me in the past. Hello, you're on the air.
Good evening, Steve and Tony.
Hello.
Yes.
First of all, I'd like to tell you I've enjoyed your analysis so much.
Thank you.
And I go along very, very much with your one, with the exception of Schmidt and Rose. I think all the rest of them, you were very fair, but not that in your comparison. You can say that 30 home runs are better than hits. That's either here or there to me.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that hustle doesn't count in baseball, there I'm going to disagree with you.
No, I wouldn't say that. I when Steve said, I want this hustler, I think hustling is like honesty. You need something else besides. And he has the skills. I never said he's not an excellent hitter. He's a great hitter. I say, with men on base, he's one of the worst clutch hitters in baseball. I would rather have, if I was a Reds fan, with men on base, and you can call Billy McCool up and lay it on the line to him, ask him, if I would rather have Morgan, Perez, Concepcion.
If you're going to say bitch, you and I are going to
You know, I didn't. No, I didn't say bench. I don't want to get the bench haters after me, too. I can only take the Rose lovers.
I'm also a Rose and a bench fan, but as far as RBIs, I think they both stink.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, we're going to cut you off. Hello, you're on the air with Tony Macklin.
Yes, good evening. I didn't catch the beginning here, so I'm just getting in the middle of this thing, but I get the impression you're saying that Rose doesn't do it in the clutch.
What? Pardon me? Repeat that again?
He says he gets the impression that you feel that Rose does not do it in the clutch.
I think you better check with him.
No. I said, what I actually said, and you're doing the same thing the papers do, quoting out of context, said was, with men on base, he hardly ever hits. And you can check that. You sit down in front of your television, not fortunately or unfortunately, but over the years, Morgan and Perez and Bench have picked him up a lot of times when he has left men on base.
Yeah, and that's really so unfair to be pathetic. In terms of driving in runs, anybody that bats behind Pete Rose and right now King Griffey is going to drive in RBIs because they've got two men on base all the time. So, you know,
there was a couple.
Just got the pitcher, the number 8 hitter in front of him. Of course he's not going to get about RBI.
I'm not talking about that. I'm putting a man on third, and I'm putting a man on second, and I'm saying Pete Rose doesn't drive them in. Down the last series against the Phillies.
That's naive.
I'm not taking one series. I'm trying to give you an example.
Anybody that hits over 200 hits a year has got to be hitting some clutch hits. They've got to be doing it. The guy, if I had a runner on second base that I need to get in, I can't think of a man on that team I'd rather have.
You're crazy.
Why? Because Rose gets over 200 hits a year.
Rose leads off a rally. He's the best guy in the league to lead off a rally. He does not end a rally.
Uh-huh.
He does not get the hits with men on base, and that's a fact.
With any facts at all, I mean, the fact that Rose has got a pretty good chunk of RBI for a leadoff man right now, and he does every year for the man who's in the number one spot.
Well, Zachary has a lot of saves, too, but he comes in with a two-run lead, and you know, you have to look at the situation.
You see, I think the generalization you made is just plain ridiculous.
I didn't make a generalization. I'm trying to support it. I said in 1964 he was 2 for 18.
2 for 18. That's 4 games, 5 games,
and it cost him the pennant.
I mean, you're gonna pay, what about the 7 games in the World Series? You better what? Almost 400?
And how many game-winning hits did he get? You know who got the game-winning hits? Joe Morgan got the game-winning hits.
Got the game-winning hit if Rose wasn't on base.
Rose didn't get the game-winning hits.
No.
That's all I am saying.
There's only one man that's going to get a game-winning hit. Now, I venture to say, if you check back this year, I don't think you've done it.
I have done it.
You're talking about how many game-winning hits Rose had over the years?
Over the years?
You don't know, do you?
No, I don't know.
I think you didn't think you did.
Well, wait a minute, sir. Do you know how many game-winning hits Pete Rose has had over the years?
Well, I wouldn't make a rash statement, I think.
I checked one year when I came on with Francis and Annie Hanninger, and I called down to Cincinnati and checked on the game-winning hits, and I had a fellow like you on the radio, and he said 18 or 19, and Rose, I think, had 11.
Let me ask you a question. Just one question. Did you get a game-winning hit?
I don't know how to make it more clearly. If you want me to talk in Pig Latin, I will. I am making the point that Pete Rose doesn't hit with those men when they get on base. Period. End of statement. End of declaration. God help me.
Thanks for your call, sir. We're speaking with Tony Macklin, who is the Journal Herald film critic and a self-professed expert on Philadelphia sports. We'll be back with Tony after this.
Elvis in concert! One night only, Tuesday, October 26th, 8:30 p.m. at the University of Dayton Arena. Tickets are $12.50, $10, and $7.50, plus 50 cent service charge on all orders. Tickets are on sale tomorrow, 7 a.m. at the North UV Arena box office, or order by mail. Send money order or cashier's check with self-addressed stamped envelope, plus 50 cents per order to Elvis, UV Arena, Dayton, 45469. That's Elvis. Elvis! Elvis in person! Don't you dare miss it!
From a tiny beginning 39 years ago, Hallam Furniture has...
457-8603 is the number to call, and believe it or not, we have full lines. Tony Macklin is on the air, and he's talking about Philadelphia sports, and...
You did it to me.
Yes, let me turn on your mic now. You can tell the fans what I did.
You did it to me. Frank told me not to talk about Pete Rose.
Well, that really wasn't to ask you about
Pete. Well, that really wasn't the reason I came on. The reason why I basically came on was that I, for 14 years, have looked for analysis in local sports. And we see one-sidedness. We see a double standard. We don't see a balanced reporting. And I don't care if they have the fans... If they have the pro-red fanatics or the people who are taken care of by the management of the Reds, I just want to see the other side. I think there's a tremendous... I don't know how many times I have read, well, Morgan didn't play in the Phillies series, but that wasn't followed up. That wasn't followed up with the fact that Leszczynski didn't play in the last three games that they lost, or Allen didn't play in all four games. I think if you give one instance, you have to give the other.
Well, you do have to sell tickets. Will
no, I don't. No, I
don't. The Reds do. Hello, you're on the air with Tony Macklin. Are you there? I suppose some of these people have died on the line waiting on us, Tony. Hello, you're on the air.
I hope so.
Hello, you're on the air.
I'd like to talk about comment on the Reds pitching for the playoffs.
Fire away.
Yeah, I was wondering if you heard the main Spark show where Mario Brenner was interviewing Sparky last night, and he was asked if who he was leaning towards to pitch in the playoffs, and he said he was leaning towards Zachary and for the first game and probably Billingham for the second, and depending on how the two would pitch Sunday.
I think you're probably right. I think Gullett may have blown his chance to, when he pitched not well against San Diego. Obviously, Zachary's going to be one of the first two pitchers, and for the Phillies, it's going to be... the Phillies have the same problem. Cott has been very mediocre recently. Now, he pitched six shutout innings, so he will probably go in the second game.
Yeah, but, and I'd also like to talk about the guy was commenting about the Reds defensively.
Yeah, I'm still the guy.
I'm going to go around the diamond. You got to go bench over Boone.
Yes. Yes.
And Perez and Allen, you know, people might go with Allen.
No, I would go defensively for Perez. Pete Rose about 1,000 errors this season.
Well, look at the Philly record from last year and this year. The two are 1-2, aren't they?
Yeah, right.
Well, Rose led the league last year in best percentage at third base.
Yes, but it has a lot. You also have to remember range and the balls that they get to. If you hit anything to his left, Rose doesn't get to it. I mean, it's much easier to make an error, but I would say that Schmidt gets his range and his arm.
Give Schmidt the range. And also on the outfield, the Reds outfield, Maddox would equal with Drama for covering.
Right.
The arm, you have good Drama.
Absolutely, I agree.
And right and left, it goes to Griffey and Foster.
I agree defensively.
I go with Boa.
Although with Griffey, now Griffey can't throw to third.
Yeah, that's right.
I think taking that extra base is pretty important.
Better than Ollie Brown or Johnstone.
Well, defensively, Ollie Brown has one of the best arms in baseball.
But he cannot cover.
Well, he doesn't have the speed that Griffey has.
Yeah, right. And then Concepcion Aboa. I go with Paula, but Concepcion, yep, look at Concepcion making so many errors. Most of his errors have been on throwing errors, because, you know, he's going to have surgery at the end of the season.
Well, you know, there's a reason for everybody. Pete Rose has slowed down, and there's a reason for why Lozinski has a bad leg. There's a reason for why everybody has a flaw. But what we're talking about here is which is superior. And I think the Phillies just have a slight edge defensively.
Yeah, and also, got one more thing. Talking about Schmidt and Rose. Well, for a man like Schmidt hitting close to 40 home runs, he's only got a, what, around 105 RBIs?
Right.
He should at least have...
He's got, the paper said 105. I think he has 106, actually.
He should, you know, usually should have, as that many home runs, should have around about 130, 140 RBIs.
Yes, but his home runs have come very, very often in clutch situations.
Well, many of them have been solo home runs, too.
Yes, right.
Okay, we do have to move on. For the record, Tony, the latest stats out today, Schmidt has 105 RBIs.
I don't think so, Steve. I saw it in the paper, the Daily News. I think he has 106.
I wouldn't believe the Daily News. I'd rather trust the AP. Hello, you're on the air with Tony Macklin.
Hello. I just came in from the Health Arama. I heard you talking about Pete Rose at 7 minutes to 7, and I don't know the whole thing, but about the Hawks lineup, but I am very much concerned when you look at the, for example, the San Diego series, when he came in as a pinch hitter. He came in and knocked in the go-ahead run when the game was tied 3-3.
We also said that he didn't face Randy Jones, and I think that tells more about Pete Rose than...
Wait a minute, who wouldn't let him face him?
Pardon me?
Who wouldn't let him face him? The manager or Pete Rose?
Well, I don't know who... I would say if Rose went to Sparky and said, I want to face this guy, he would face him.
Well, I tell you, I don't know.
You don't think so?
That point there, I know, I'm a Rose fan, and I do, and I believe that every game Rose wants to play. Randy Jones or no Randy Jones. Now,
okay.
What I'm trying to bring out is one thing, is the fact that Rose got 2 out of 3 pinch hits, and out of 5 times at bat, Morgan's got none. Now, both have their strong points, but when you average 14 years, 60, I got the who's who in baseball in front of me, he averaged about 60 runs tied in a year, over 100 runs scored a year, and 19 at third base, he was the second base originally, then he went to the outfield. He came to third
base. We all
base
know that. We know that. Hey, Steve, let's not talk about Rose.
Okay, we're going to go on because I do have to do some business here, Tony, and we'll be back. The number to call and speak with Tony Macklin tonight on Sports Talk is 457-8603. Okay, well, we'll just say the number to call is 457-8603, and you can dial through now to talk with us. Tony Macklin is on the air with us, and we had some callers on the line, so if you'd like to get back on, we're back with Tony now. Tony, going on to something else, we have roughly 15 minutes left for our conversation. Let's talk about another Philadelphia sport right now, and that is the Philadelphia Eagles, the NFL team in town. What do you think of Dick Vermeil as a coach, and what do you think of the Eagles this season?
Well, one of my very best friends is Jim Murray, who's the general manager of the Eagles. And they look good Monday night. I think Monday night was so typical, though, Steve. This happened to us who have been from Philadelphia and rooting for the Philadelphia teams. At the end of the half, there were 12 seconds left, and Philadelphia was running out the clock, and they gave the ball to Herb Lusk, and he coughed it up, and a lineman from the Redskins got the ball and got a touchdown. We just gave the game away. I have seen Pete Lisk for the Eagles fumble on the other team's 1 yard line on first down and give the ball away, give the game away. I have seen Timmy Brown against the Cleveland Browns fumble on the 1 yard line, and all he had to do was catch the punt and the Eagles won the game. So we have a tremendous tradition in Philadelphia. Now, Vermeil's a fighter. I wasn't too impressed by him. You know, everybody talked about how great he coached UCLA over Ohio State. I think he made one of the worst calls I've ever seen. They were ahead by 6 points, and they were driving, and they had the ball in field goal range, And on third down, he tried a pitch out. UCLA called a pitch out. Now, you know, leading by 6 points, if the other team, if Ohio State scored and kicked an extra point, they win. If you kick a field goal, then you've got a 9-point bulge. Vermeil called a pitch out. It was fumbled, and Ohio State pounced on it. Fortunately for UCLA, the quarterback threw an interception on the next play, and that decided the game. But the problem with the Eagles, and to be perfectly frank, I really don't think the Eagles have a chance. I think you have to look 5 years ahead. They don't have, in the next 2 years, a first-round draft choice. Jim, my friend, says the Eagles come alive in 79. It's pretty dismal there.
That is a long wait for the Philadelphia sports fans. What do the fans in Philadelphia think about the Eagles?
The Eagles are a phenomenon. They have lost, as you know, they won in 1960, the Chuck Bednarik team. They have lost, and yet they sell out every year. People talk about the Philadelphia fan as being a boo bird. They really do not understand the Philadelphia fan. The Philadelphia fan has been abused and mistreated. The Philadelphia fan is a perfectionist. He wants to see competence. That's all he wants. And when he sees, with 12 seconds left, them giving the other team a touchdown, that's an incompetent thing to do. That is nothing that a good team should do. And it has happened in every sport. I remember in the seventh game when the Celtics were against the 76ers, they brought the ball in, the 76ers did, and the Celtics stole it. So the Sixers didn't even get a shot. And that is what we've had to live with. And one thing more. I was down to the Denver Bengals game, the first half of the first game of the season, and Kenny Anderson had a bad half, and those people booed Kenny Anderson and called for John Reeves. Now, don't ever tell me that the Cincinnati fan is in any way the equal to the Philadelphia fan.
Okay, well, that is something I'm sure some people will take exception with, but I know I've been to Cincinnati games, and the fans do boo. They want their people to win, and they want them to win without any questions asked. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air with Tony Macklin.
Yes, is Tony a sports writer? Isn't he a...
Tony is a movie critic, but Tony is also very knowledgeable about sports. This is the kind of man who will drive many miles out of town to see a blacked-out football game at no expense.
The problem is I wish I was in a movie right now.
Okay, I have the right Tony Mack, but that's yes. Right for General Herald.
That's right.
Okay. I'd like to express my point. First of all, you cannot get on the air and downgrade Pete Rose.
No, you're right. You're right. Absolutely right.
That's a mortal sin. I just canceled my subscription to the Journal Herald.
And you'll never see a movie again, will you?
And they may fire me after this.
Oh, but Tony, I just have to tell you, you can't do that because Pete Rose is the epitome of a baseball player.
Well, for some people.
For everybody.
Not for me. Don't say for everybody. Yes. Not for me or my friends. He's a hot dog par excellence.
No, Tony, you got it all wrong. I don't want to get hostile with you. Really, if people applied themselves to whatever they did the same way that Pete Rose applies himself to the game of baseball, we would have a world of successful people.
Okay, now let me stop you for a minute. Pete Rose has never admitted that he made a mistake. He's always alibied. He blames his power hitters when they lose. When he made the error against the Phillies that cost them the game, do you know what he said? He said his wife said that Tony Perez should have caught it. Now that's to me not the sign of what our youth should be. You know, he's a good winner. But I
remember that error that you're talking about, and it seems to me like he accepted the fact that he made the error that lost the game, but he also pointed out that it hasn't happened more than once or twice over the last two or three years that he has made an error which contributed to the loss of a Reds game.
Well, he said I never did, but this is the first time, and I remember in Montreal when he dropped a fly ball, and cost him a ball game.
We have to remember this. Let's look back into the background of Pete Rose. First of all, when Pete Rose came into the major leagues, Pete Rose had zero ability as far as baseball goes. Do you agree with me?
Well, I can't say zero, or he wouldn't be a major leaguer. You know, I would say he's a self-made man, I would say.
Ability.
Yeah.
His first year in the minors, the management of the minor league club that he played for encouraged him to quit.
I know.
He was that bad. Pete Rose did not get into the major leagues on ability, on natural ability. He made himself what he is. He's a self-made man.
I don't agree. I don't disagree with you. I think he's a good ball player. I think he's a fine hitter. I am just saying that he's overrated. And I'm saying that the press around here in 14 years has never written one negative word about Pete Rose. And to be human, I think the press has to. Or to do their professional job, I think the press has to.
Okay, we have to move along, sir. Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. And maybe Tony can write something negative about Pete Rose in his movie column next time. We'll be right back. Well, you're on the air with Tony Macklin.
Yeah, Tony, I was interested in Jim Cott. So his pitcher,
right.
They gave up for him to the White Sox?
They gave up an infielder named Bannister. Who's playing right now.
Yeah,
he was a promising shortstop in the Phillies chain, but with Boa, they felt that they tried him in center field. They tried Bannister in center field, and he didn't work out. And he's got speed, and he will probably be good for the White Sox. I listened to the White Sox game last night when they Nolan Ryan beat him, and Bannister was playing, so I know that it's the veteran for the young. It's that kind of trade.
Yeah, I think Jim Cott's just done a super job for Philadelphia, but did he get hurt?
Well, his record is only 12-14, but he was losing one-run games for about six games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And, he might... The interesting thing about using left-handed pitching against the Reds is it gives the Reds a real strategy problem. Do they sit down Griffey? And I Griffey's going to win the batting championship sitting down against Brent Strom and sitting down against Randy Jones, and I don't think that's right. I think if you win the batting championship, you should win it not sitting down. You should win it hitting. But if they use the left-handed pitching, and I think that's what the Phillies are planning to do, it gives the Reds problems with whether to play Griffey, whether to use Geronimo or to use Bailey. You know, it gives them a lot of things to think about.
Okay, sir, thank you for your call. And Tony, we're just about out of time. Let me get my mouth in the correct gear.
Okay, Steve, I would like to come back when the Eagles are successful in about 25 years.
Well, Tony, I'd like to have you back before that. So when we continue sports talk, I'd like to have you come on again with us some other time and not only talk about Philadelphia sports, but I like some of your thoughts and some of your ideas because they do... They do make you think anyway.
Unfortunately,
they do make you disagree sometimes too, though.
We didn't get to develop too much, but all I'm asking for is more balanced coverage, and we aren't getting it, and it makes me it depresses me.
Well, Tony, that is the good thing about this show because we get all sides, all opinions, and that's what we're trying to do here, and hopefully we'll continue to do that for the rest of the year.
Okay.
Tony, thank you for coming on Sports Talk tonight. We've